All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of O365A. In this episode, we're going to be continuing the discussion about how to support your remote workers utilizing live events, Microsoft Teams live events. So we did an episode 25 just talking about what live events is and some of the features and functionality. And so today we're going to discuss some of the new services, administration, organizer, producer, presenter, attendee, and all the new features and functionality, and how that can pertain to helping your remote workers and providing a message to your remote workers utilizing live events. So, Dino, why don't you kick us off?
For sure. Thanks, Hub. So in terms of the live event service itself, obviously we in a previous episode, we talked about Teams live events, which is a mechanism for users in your organization to broadcast video and meeting content to large online audiences. So with that, like, the service itself can handle 10,000 attendees. Think of it as a Teams meeting wrapped in the Azure Media Services fronted by Stream. So you're able to broadcast out to those 10,000 users. You would schedule a live event in either one of these three mechanisms, either in Teams, Yammer, or Stream. And just a caveat here, if you've disabled private meetings in Teams, you won't be able to schedule a live event in the dropdown in Teams, because you can't schedule meetings directly in Teams if you do that. So you'd have to choose one of the other options, either Yammer or the Stream site, to schedule those live meetings. But the easiest would be just if you've enabled meetings in Teams, just to schedule it there. In terms of resolution, you can do meetings in 720p. You can, in any one tenant, you can have up to 15 maximum live events per tenant, either live at the same time or just scheduled and waiting to happen on the same day. So I don't know. I haven't seen anyone come close to that level yet, but you never know. So just keep that in mind. Each live event can be a maximum of 4 hours at a time. So when you're planning your event out, just make sure you don't have more than 4 hours of content to plan for it. And in terms of the licensing required to do it, all the eSKUs have access to do a live meeting, including the A3 and A5 licenses. You can have up to 250 presenters in a live meeting, which is quite a lot. The producers, which we'll talk about in a minute, they're only going to see the last 10 presenters that speak in the list. So anybody producing, the person that's controlling the meeting, will have access to those people, but only the last 10 presenters will show up in the list. So keep that in mind. In terms of the region, the event that you're scheduling, the regions will be dependent on who the organizer is. So if you schedule it in the Americas, the event will take place in the Americas. So the regions available are the Americas, Europe, and Africa, Asia Pac, and you can also, outside of regions, you have the Go Local in Canada, India, Australia, Japan, and the UK can also host meetings. A couple of exclusions to that is that in terms of the Go Locals, anything outside of Canada, India, Australia, Japan, and UK can't host meetings. They're not currently supported. And specifically China, event team members and attendees wouldn't be able to use the Teams live events because the Azure Content Delivery Network isn't accessible in China. So the workaround for that is they'll have to possibly use a VPN connection, which they'll get their client connected to the CDN via the customer's corporate network. So that's it in terms of this service. And I'm going to pass it on to Hab to talk about administration and live events.
Yeah, thanks, Dino. So for the administration side of things, as Dino mentioned, the user has to be licensed for Teams, Stream, and Yammer. So for talking about the three places, those are where you can create the live event. From Teams perspective, there's a live event policy where by default, there's allow scheduling, who can join the live events. Right now, it's defaulted to just the organization, but that's something that you want to enable for everyone. As you know, when you create your live event, it only provides you to select people in groups or an organization-wide live event. And by enabling the everyone in that policy, it now has the ability to have a public live event where there's no sign-in required for the end user consuming it, the attendee consuming it. Enabling transcriptions is very good as well. And then additionally, who can record an event? By default, it's always record. And it, you know, I think it's recommended to put on organizer can record, because that way, you know, if someone's still learning live events and they're, you know, playing around with it, there's not these all these additional recordings that are in their stream, saved videos. You know, obviously, those are policies that you can create within the Teams Admin Center. And so you can create different policies and assign those to different users. From a stream perspective, you need to go to the Stream Admin Center, which is just a link in the upper right hand corner, and enable live events there. You can also restrict who can create a live event within Stream itself. So you have that capability there. And then additionally, you can configure ECDN, which basically Microsoft Stream works with like third-party content delivery, enterprise content delivery network providers to help monitor and optimize video playback network traffic within the organization. I mean, currently within the work from home or remote workers, that's not really applicable, but you know, hopefully when we get back to work and to the office, you may require that functionality. And then from a Yammer perspective, you can create a live event from Yammer. However, you know, there is a caveat where you need to ensure that your organization has committed to enforcing Office 365 identities in Yammer, and then also having a single Yammer network. And then when you do that and you enable that functionality, then you have connected groups to be enabled within Yammer. To get there, to do that, you go to your network admin settings and then click on security settings, and then you'll be able to select the Office 365 identity management. And then lastly, I just want to quickly touch on Microsoft is offering a M365 live event assistance program that includes, you know, education before the event, you know, how to use it, validating certain scenarios and logistics, rehearsing, you know, what happens during an event. I'll put the link inside the blog post, but basically you'll get 4 hours of phone chat assistance before, during, and after the event. So with that, I will pass it over to Michael.
Thanks, Hap. Yeah, I wonder how slammed that Microsoft support line is, right, for assistance, free assistance around live event planning and duration. Yeah, so I'm going to take on the kind of the experience from an organizer and a producer role. So from as an organizer, you would go into to book a Teams live event. You would go into your Teams client, and the only way you can schedule this is within the Teams client for a Teams live event. And you'd go under your calendar and go under the dropdown next to new meeting, and you would pick the dropdown for live event. At this time, you can't use the Outlook add-in to do it, so it has to be done within the Teams client. And then the booking page is like a normal online meeting, but you have the ability to invite producers and presenters. And so producers are going to be the ones that are controlling who is on the screen, whose video is showing, what content is showing. And then the presenters are going to be the ones that are going to be speaking or providing content in. Now, those individuals will, you know, they'll get a meeting invite. It'll be scheduled just like a normal online meeting. And so that would get put into their calendar. They would join that meeting similar to an online meeting from Teams. You'd click the join button, the Teams client would launch, and you would join into the live event. You would want to, the presenters and producers are going to use the full desktop client. So that's either on Windows or Mac. You're not going to want to use the browser client because some of the live event functionality has more features within the interface. And then on the next screens, you kind of set up the what the attendees are going to, or what the type of attendees you're going to have for the event. So you can define specific people or groups. You know, this would require them to authenticate to your Azure AD. Or you can pick org-wide, which will just require sign in. Any of the users within your tenant can come in and watch the event. Or like I believe Hab was saying about the everyone option, if you've turned that on from an admin level, you have the option to do public, which means no sign-in and allows for anonymous join. So if you're doing webinars and you want to let anyone outside your organization come in, that would be the option that you would pick. Then you're able to control the features for the event. So you can decide if you're going to record it and if the recording is available for producers or presenters, or if you're going to allow the recording for attendees. You have the ability to turn on captions. Captions is in preview. You do have to select the spoken language for the event, and right now it's only limited to English, German, or Chinese. But then you could translate up to 6 languages that you can choose from a list of, I think, about 58 languages, including Klingon. I'm not sure why that's in the GA list, but that is available if that's what you want. Then you have the ability to turn on moderated Q&A. Q&A is only chat-based, so there's no ability for an attendee to speak directly to the presenters or producers. And then you could pick an external app or device, so similar to what was discussed earlier about those hardware-based encoders or software-based encoders. I typically like to use OBS Studio if you're going to take it kind of beyond the layouts that are within live events. So if you wanted to bring in a video, or maybe you wanted banners or green screening and stuff like that, you can use OBS Studio, which is a free encoder, but you can use your whatever certified encoder that is most relevant to you. And then you can change the support URL. So as people are having problems, they can go to a URL to get assistance. After you've set up who the attendees are going to be and the features, you're going to get an attendee join URL. And this URL is not going to be a scheduled meeting out of the box. So you're going to have to find a way to distribute that to your attendees. I highly recommend using a URL shortener. And I've had a lot of success with rebrandly.com. Great service, even the free tier. Allows you to have your own domain and SSL and some stuff to make that URL a little bit more friendly. The big thing with the URL shortener is when you start a live event, if you stop it, you can't restart it. So if you went into the meeting and accidentally started it, and then you went and stopped it, you would have to rebook it and send out that information because the URL will become invalid. So if you had a URL shortener, you could just book another live event, change the URL so that when your event kicks off, you don't have to try and distribute that content and say, join this link, not this link. Once you're in the meeting, as a producer, you have the ability to control some of the layouts. So we were talking about this earlier. As a producer, I could say, there's no content being shared and it's just the audio. I can define, or I can decide if it's just content, so screen share, or I can put a person's video, one of the presenters, or I can do content with the presenter's video. There is a delay when you load up, because there's kind of this queue and then there's the live stage. So when you move the content up into the queue, there is a delay, but from moving the queue to the live stage, and then when you move the next set of content kind of into the queue again. So just know that, if you were following along in the event and you queued up the wrong person and you sent them live, there is going to be a second or two that you're going to be scrambling to move the other person in and flip it in. When you do hit start on the live event, there is a little bit of a delay. And then from the inner meeting to the external meeting, so if you're watching it as an attendee to see how it's going, there is about about 20-second delay. So don't worry, that's the kind of the transcoding of the meeting going through the Azure Media Service into stream to support that 10,000 user audience. Producers can mute all the microphones or individual presenters within the session. I found that if you mute all, it doesn't actually mute the producer's microphone, so just be cautious of that. Also, as a producer, you can't unmute. So if you muted all the presenters, you have to make sure that the presenter knows that when they start speaking, they need to unmute themselves. What I found was if you have multiple producers in the event, you don't all see the same stage and queue. So if you were loading up content to move into the next scene or whatever, the other producers wouldn't see that. So make sure you communicate beforehand who's going to be the one kind of driving the session. And if there is any problems, then someone else would take over. All audio in the live event is sent out to the attendees. So it's not just the person on the stage that's live. Their mic is live when they're unmuted. So it would be great if the producers could talk to all the presenters within the meeting and not have that sent out, because then you could say, hey, presenter XYZ, your mic is muted, unmute. Or, hey, we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. Or, hey, I'm going to move you in into the live stage. Keep the chat to a minimum within the meeting. There is the inner chat within the meeting, but it can be distracting to the presenters as they're trying to deliver their content. And once the session is kind of wrapped up, the meeting invite will have a whole bunch of content within it. So for the producers and presenters, you'll have an engagement report. You'll have kind of the who the attendees were. You also have a link to the recording plus a backup recording. So there's two recordings that are going on. And then you'll have a download of the speech to text. So I know that was a lot of content, but I'll throw it over to Kurt and let you talk about kind of the presenting side.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Everything you gave is fantastic information if you've never done a live event before, because it is much different than a Teams online meeting. So I just want to take a couple of minutes to talk about the presenter and the attendee experience and a couple of points about those two roles. So obviously the presenter is the person who presents the content, whether it be audio, video, or screen share to the live event, and they also moderate the Q&A. And just a note that presenters can only share audio, video, or a screen share. You can't directly share a PowerPoint like you can in a Teams online meeting, but you can just screen share the PowerPoint. So simple workaround there. Presenters must use the desktop client, where an attendee can use the web client or basically any client, including the desktop. When the presenters go live on the stage and they're actively presenting to the audience, they'll see a live label and a red box around their Teams client to let them know that, hey, they're live and everything's going out to the audience. That's really useful. And if the producer has shown that one-person video of the presenter, a good workaround to show more video is the presenter can just share their Teams client, and then that way you'll get 4 video tiles. So a little tip there. Also, having done a couple live events myself, a good recommendation for the presenters to have an intro and an exit slide. That just helps with the timing and just makes things go a little more smoothly, because there is a little bit of a lag that can happen just based on the audio, video, and the presenting. A couple key callouts in terms of the roadmap for presenter capabilities that are being delivered in April this month. The ability to share your system audio in live events. So let's say the presenter is presenting a YouTube video or something with audio, you'll actually be able to share that audio to the audience, which will be really, really useful. And background effects, that's coming in the Teams client this month, and it'll be available to live events also. On the attendee side, these are the people that consume the live event, and as I mentioned, they can join with any Teams client, including a web browser. They join either anonymously, that's when they just type in whatever name they want, essentially, or they could be authenticated. To be authenticated, they need to have gone through the Azure AD guest account registration process, and they're actually authenticated into the Azure AD tenant that's hosting the live meeting. Attendees cannot come off mute, but they can participate in the Q&A through chat. And there's no audio conference dial-in for attendees. There is for producers and organizers. That can be set up so they can dial in and have audio conference capabilities, but attendees can't. In terms of consuming the content, attendees can watch live or use on-demand DVR controls, which is like to pause and rewind. And also in terms of multitasking in the Teams client, an attendee, you can actually just do other things in the Teams client, like say, you know, look at a team chat conversation. And when you do that, the live event will be minimized into a small window and into the bottom corner, which is a little bit different than the regular Teams online meeting experience, where sort of that video moves in the top corner. So that's about it from a presenter and attendee point of view. Habib, any closing remarks?
Yeah, no, that's great, guys. A lot of really good tips and tricks on you know, some of our experiences with live events. Definitely, you know, I think it's really great to see all the additional functionality that has been brought into live events and some of the things that we're looking forward to as well. And hopefully, you know, the discussion here has helped give you a little bit more insight and information to help support, you know, your organization with live events, to be able to have that type of, you know, one-to-many messaging, you know, to your users in your organization to keep them up to date potentially on what's happening with the current COVID situation and stuff like that. So anyways, thanks everybody for listening in, and hopefully we'll catch you on our next episode.
See ya.
Thanks.
See ya.